I am proud to be the youth leader this morning. Pray with me. To reiterate Carol's beautiful prayer, we are honored to remember the many brave men and women who have given their lives throughout the history of this great nation, those who made the ultimate sacrifice to protect us from harm. We salute them now serving and raise prayers for their safety and blessing. May the Lord bless and keep them. And from Psalm 139, a beautiful passage. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know me when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in before, behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high I can't attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? And where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven into the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. I try to count them, but they are more than the sand. I come to the end, and I am still with you. This is the word of the Lord.
Today we begin our preaching series on the book of Jonah. A slim little book, only four chapters, found towards the end of the Old Testament. You probably know something already about the story. God commanding the prophet Jonah to go talk to the people of Nineveh, and all that happens when Jonah runs in the opposite direction. It's one of those classic Bible stories that kids especially love to hear. So let us now hear the first three verses and go from there. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, "Go at once to Nineveh, the great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah set out to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid his fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. May God add a blessing to our hearing as we seek now to apply it to our lives. Three verses. Pretty straightforward, don't you think? Verse 1, God is calling Jonah, clear enough. Verse 2, God clearly tells Jonah what he wants him to do. Go to Nineveh and cry out against it. In other words, preach the gospel to them so that they might repent and be saved. There is also clarity about the timing. God tells Jonah, go at once. Clear enough. God even gives Jonah a clear reason. Their wickedness, that of the Ninevites, has come before me. It's always nice, I think, to get a clear call from God that's easy to understand. Isn't that the way you like it? Clear and easy to understand? There is no ambiguity or question about what God is commanding Jonah to go and do. Don't we wish that we had that kind of clarity from God once in a while? Haven't you ever said to yourself, I just wish I knew what God wanted in my life? Well, here Jonah has it. Perfect clarity. But we might think that that kind of clarity, with that kind of clarity, we might think that the next verse might read, Jonah got up and went to Nineveh and preached the gospel to the Ninevites. But no, that's not what it says. In fact, it tells in detail how Jonah does his best to get away from God. Verse 3, Jonah set out to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So Jonah's goal was to get as far away as possible from God. He went down to Joppa, the nearest port. He found a ship going to Tarshish, the opposite direction from Nineveh. He paid his fare, went on board, and began his voyage away from the presence of the Lord. Jonah appears determined to do everything he can to get away from God. Why? Why? Why did Jonah go to such great lengths to flee from God? Clearly, Jonah went to considerable expense in time and money to avoid God's unbridled love and mercy. Instead of spending a day to go to Nineveh, he spent days, if not weeks, traveling to Tarshish. Instead of spending a little money for a day's journey to Nineveh, he spent much more money for passage on the ship to Tarshish, which he never reached. What's going on here? Well, the reputation of the great city of Nineveh was well known. At that time, it was the capital of the Assyrian Empire and an enemy of Israel. It was large, affluent, and prone to using its power for destruction. Clearly, Jonah knew all this. God was asking him to go to the bad guys, the enemy, and talk to them about changing their ways of living. So why didn't Jonah go as God commanded him? Was he afraid of the big bad bullies in Nineveh? Was he just a rebellious, disobedient prophet? Was he too arrogant and egotistical to be told what to do? All these could be likely explanations. But in this case, I think there's a twist. I think Jonah ran from God because Jonah knew who God was. Let me say that again. Jonah ran from God because Jonah knew who God was. So we must then, I think, ask ourselves, what was it that Jonah knew about God that made him want to run in the opposite direction? You see, Jonah knew God to be gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishing. You're looking puzzled. Hang in there. He knew God's love and mercy to be unbridled and boundless. How do we know this? Let's fast forward to verse 2 of the last chapter, where Jonah, having failed to flee God's presence, but succeeding, despite his best efforts to the contrary, to preach to 120,000 people in Nineveh who repented and were saved, Jonah, in his lament, said to God, "This is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and ready to repent from punishing." Did you get that? Jonah wanted to get as far away as possible from God because he knew of God's great love and mercy. He knew God would have love and mercy and grace for those horrible folks in Nineveh. In today's terms, it would be like God asking one or more of us to go share the gospel with the people of ISIS. Go at once to the people of ISIS and cry out against them because their wickedness is known to me. Or the people of the Taliban or Boko Haram, or pick your favorite bad guy group. They have done such horrible things. It's not right that they should experience God's unbridled and boundless love and mercy. They deserve death and destruction and retribution, not love and mercy and grace. How is that just? How is that fair? I have this fantasy that if God had wanted Jonah to destroy the people of Nineveh, he would have gotten to Nineveh fast. As soon as the word destruction was out of God's mouth, Jonah would have been in Nineveh, giving those people what they deserve. But Jonah could not tolerate the thought that God would extend love and mercy and grace to these people and save them. So he ran. He ran because he knew the true nature of God. So we have to ask ourselves, can we tolerate God's love? Can we tolerate a God whose love extends to the likes of ISIS, the Taliban, and Boko Haram? Or will we too run hard and fast? Will we do everything we can to get away from, to hide from this kind of loving God? Will we find our own Tarshish or even the belly of a fish to escape to? But really, where can we go to get away from this kind of mercy and grace Where can we go to get away from this kind of merciful and loving God? In today's first reading, which Pete read from Psalm 139, the psalmist asks, "Is there any place I can run to avoid your spirit, to be out of your sight? I climb to the sky, you are there. I go underground, you are there. If I flew on morning wings to the far western horizon, you find me in a minute. You're already there, waiting." What kind of God is this who loves all people everywhere unconditionally and pursues them relentlessly so that all may be saved? Jonah could not stand the thought of it. Can we? Can we tolerate God's unbridled and boundless love? A love that can reach the worst of the worst. But maybe the story of Jonah is not as much about saving those horrible Ninevites, as great and marvelous as that is. Maybe the real story here is how God penetrated the closed and hardened heart of Jonah. Maybe the real story is how Jonah learned how God's love can reach into his own life and change him from within. Can we get to the place where there is a change of heart, able to penetrate even the hardest hearts, a heart that longs for, yet totally fears this kind of love? And when the God of unbridled love calls you saying, "I trust you, I love you," how will you respond? We see in these first three verses God's intentional call and purpose in Jonah's life. We see Jonah struggle to come to terms with who God really is in his life. "I call you to the Ninevites." Who are our Ninevites? "I call you to ministry." What is your ministry? "I call you to the shut-ins." Who are those needing your companionship? "I call you to the homeless." Who amongst us needs shelter? "I call you to reconciliation." Who are you called to forgive, to reconcile with? "I call you to feed the community." Who are the hungry amongst us? "I call you to fill in that blank, your greatest fear." "I call you to open your heart to the fullness of my love," says God. How can we make room for God's love in our hearts? Let us pray. O God, comfort us in our reluctance. Continue to open our hearts. Help us to make more room in our tawdry lives for you and for each other. Thank you for your infinite patience and extreme gentleness. May we be so with ourselves and with each other. Open us to surrender, to lay rest the ego. Come in us fully so lightly that we might fly beyond our limited understandings and weak goals. Be like a cool, wet breeze in our minds, hearts, and lips. Amen.